All right, appreciate that song, Wally. Yeah. Looking forward to the full knowledge of what God has been doing. The Bible says that every mouth shall have the praise of God in that day. So God does everything well. He does everything good. Amen. And so we can cheer up. Church is not supposed to be a funeral service for Jesus every single week. It's a time of excitement. It's a time to praise Him. It's a time to honor and glorify Him. And so I hope you've taken part in that today. But if you got your Bible, open up to Psalm number 56. Psalm number 56 this morning. I'm also relieved that that Wally sang for us. The singing group that I'm in was scheduled to sing. And I'll tell you, one of the most awkward things I've ever done as when I've had to speak is to have to sing before it. So you have to put the microphone down, then turn around, go get your Bible, and then go get it and turn around. I just feel like a weirdo doing that. And so you'll know next time it happens to just kind of laugh at me a little bit. But it's kind of one of those weird fears that I have. Most of the time, I try to act as though nothing will make me afraid. We got Kings Island passes this past year, and I had only been to Kings Island maybe two or three times in my life. But my wife really loves amusement parks. Our kids like them. And so we went to Kings Island. And if you were to picture me on a roller coaster, you would imagine that I was just in a car. Because there is no emotion on my face. There's no smile. I almost go as limp as I possibly can. There's no chance that you could even begin to think that I was afraid on there. And I'm not afraid of roller coasters. I don't like getting sick on them. When we first started going, I would get motion sickness pretty easily. And as time went on, I kind of got a little tougher and stopped whining about it so much. And it started feeling better after a while. But I wasn't really afraid of that. There are very few things that, I think that most men would actually admit to being afraid of. One of the things that's fun about having small children in your house is that, they are just afraid of the most random things. They're afraid of random people. When certain people have come around our kids, even family members, and they just kind of give them the nastiest, meanest look that a kid could possibly give to somebody, it grates. I'm afraid of that. But my kids are afraid of weird things at times. They'll just... I remember a few times being woken up by Faith hitting me because all three of our children are screaming at the top of their lungs because their sound machine went off. So they're scared that the sound machine was off. There wasn't any noise, but the sound machine went off, and that was enough to just absolutely terrify them. There are some things that all of us are afraid of, though. And there are some things that, though we might not like to think about, to admit it to other people, we are afraid of things. And I think a lot of us, we tend to respond with to fear in our lives, either by completely trying to hide it or trying to get as much sympathy from everybody around us as is possible. But there's a proper way to respond to fear. And Psalm number 56 is where we're going to be today. And there's a very famous verse, a very catchy verse in that psalm that is going to be the title of our message this morning. It says, "What time I am afraid." And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what we do when we're afraid and how we respond to fear is a really, really important thing. Before we get into the actual psalm itself, the header of that psalm says, "To the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rekokum, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him to Gath." And so apart from the word Jonath Elam Rekokum on there and the word Miktam, it's there's a reason why many of us just skip over the headings of those psalms. I'll be honest, I had no idea what Jonath Elam Rekokum was, and nor did I know how to pronounce it up until, kind of preparing for this. But those titles are part of the text, and they actually give us some important details as to the context of what David is going through at the time. And so the word Jonath Elam Rekokum is a phrase that you see only one time in the Bible. And many believe that it was a particular tune that would have been popular in the day, or some kind of chords that would have been played. But it translates to the silent dove in distant places is what that word means. And so many people believe that that was a song. And so this particular song, Psalm number 56, was played to this particular tune, or to a rhythm similar to what that song would have been. And I couldn't find any information as to what that song actually was. I don't think that people know what it is or not. I would say that that's probably a more minor detail of the introduction to the psalm, but it does say that it is a miktam of David, and there are six other psalms that are titled as a miktam, and a miktam just simply means it means to cut or to engrave. And so this particular psalm was something that David thought was a big enough deal to where it would need to be placed onto stone versus written onto paper or engraved in some type of prominence. And so it's a special time in David's life where obviously his relationship with God was challenged. And at the end of that introduction to the psalm, it says, so it's a miktam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. And if you're familiar with when David was taken by the Philistines in Gath, this was while Saul was pursuing him to kill him. And the Philistines were no friends of David. David was no friend to the Philistines. The Philistines probably had some type of bounty on David after he killed Goliath. He certainly would have been an enemy to the Philistines. And the Bible says that David, in order to escape for his life, he pretended to be mad. He pretended to be crazy. And that's how the Philistines ended up sparing his life. God used that situation to spare his life. And so this is a low point among low points in David's life. And I think that it was called a miktam of David because this is the type of point in your life that you're never going to forget. You know what? The first time I rode one of the roller coasters of King's Island, I'm not going to remember that. That's not a big deal. But there are genuine times in our life that we're always going to look back on and remember how we felt when those things happened. And we're going to remember, hopefully, how God delivered us and worked in our life through that situation. And that's really what we are looking to do. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, is what he says here in Psalm number 56. But let's read the whole psalm. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 56. The Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they shall wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity and thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" You can go ahead and be seated. Now, I don't know what situation you find yourself in at this particular case. What I can tell you is that no matter what you're facing today, or no matter if you're in a mountain, a valley, or somewhere in between, it should be our heart's desire to trust God in every situation we face in life. And so, in light of that desire that every genuine believer should have today, I hope that you will endeavor to trust God in everything that you face in life. And so what I want to start out with, obviously David is here in a very difficult situation, and I want to just remind us that fear is actually a natural emotion that we have. When David said, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." You know, David is afraid, and David is obviously a very spiritual man. We know him to be the man after God's own heart. And if a man like David felt fear, obviously you and I will experience fear as well. Amen. By the way, fear is something that we can actually experience while we're right with God. It's not sinful to be afraid.
Amen.
There's a lot of emotions that we look really negatively towards, and those emotions have some things that we should do that will end up being positive from them. Our anger is often used in a sinful way, but just being angry is not sinful in itself.
Right.
It is our response to anger that can be sinful,
right.
And our response to fear can also be sinful. Though anger is looked upon as an obvious candidate for an opportunity for sin, fear also is something that can be a way for us to fall into sin. Fear and faith can exist simultaneously. It is not when fear finally leaves that David was able to trust God. It was in the midst of his fear that he chose to trust God. He was afraid, and in the same breath, he says, I will trust in God. And so his response to fear is what I want us to focus in on today, because all of us will have times of fear in our life. All of us have things that we should have a natural fear towards at all times. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There should be a natural and a healthy fear of God that all of us live with all the time. It is not a natural, healthy fear to just constantly be looking over your shoulders, waiting for God to, you know, bash you on the head if you step out of line. That's not a healthy fear of God. But there is a healthy fear of God that we should all have, that when we respond properly to it, it will lead us to a closer relationship with Him. Every single parent here should have some level of fear with how your children are going to do and how they're going to turn out one day. That's a natural and a healthy fear. Every spouse here today should have a healthy fear of how your other spouse is doing, and a healthy fear of if things go out of, got out of hand, or if one person started treating the other person improperly. There should be a fear that kind of keeps us from doing things that we wouldn't normally do. Fear is healthy. Fear is normal. Fear and faith can exist simultaneously, and we need to be fearful at times. Fear can be a natural response. It can also be part of a supernatural attack, though. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The spirit of fear is something that is different and does not come from God. There's a natural, healthy fear of God, and then there's a spirit of fear that keeps us from doing the things that God would have us to do. And that fear is a fear that we should respond to by getting rid of it. How do we respond to the fears that we face in our life? Failing to fear, failing to allow ourselves to be fearful towards healthy things is actually very detrimental. You know, if you're a parent and you don't have any fear for your children and their faith, both now and in the future, you're failing to read the situation properly. You should have fear. And the response to that fear is really what we need, because if you don't have that proper fear, it's not going to drive you to the proper response to that fear, which is driving you to the arms of God. Amen. David's real fear in this situation drove him to three responses to fear, and that's what I want to speak about today, and I'm going to give you all three of them up front. I don't normally do that because not that there's a lot of anticipation for some type of alliteration or, whatever the points might be. But our fear should bring us to three key responses. Our fear should cause us to respond with prayer.
Amen.
We should respond to fear by trusting God.
Right.
And we should respond to fear by praising God.
Amen.
And so all three of those are so intertwined with one another that when you really do one, the other two will accompany it. And so regardless of what situation you face today, whether you're in a moment of crisis and adversity right now and you have genuine fear, the response should be to pray, to trust God, and to praise Him. If you're on the mountaintop right now, the healthy things that you should be in fear of throughout your life that cause you to live in a way that pleases the Lord, that cause you to live in a wise manner, those fears should bring you to pray, to trust God, and to praise Him. All three of those things are essential. And so when you are afraid, when you are facing adversity, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what we see David doing in this particular psalm. And so I want us to seek to imitate what David did here, because it's so important for us to respond properly to the fears that we have and allow ourselves to fear on things we should be fearful of so that we can respond properly to that as well. If you don't allow yourself to feel a need to seek God, then you are not going to be as close to God as you should, and you're going to miss out on a lot of things that you should be experiencing as a Christian. So many Christians today are living outside of the power of God, the blessing of God, and the glory of God because we do not take time with God in prayer like we should. And so we want to respond with prayer. The very beginning of this psalm, David, obviously, who's he crying out to? He's crying out to God. The situations of life that we face, whether it be a life and death situation, whether it be kind of a long-term problem that we're looking at, or a long-term potential problem we're looking at, or whether it's just our daily life, we should always be on our knees before God. Fear is a natural emotion, and when it's combined with our natural response, there's going to be a disastrous result. Because our natural response is not to go to God in prayer when we are facing anything. We want to fix things ourselves. We want to orchestrate things ourselves. We want to use our power and our means and our abilities to do whatever we need to do to fix this given situation, but it is not the response of faith to operate in our power when God is there looking to communicate with us about that. Supernatural response to fear is to pray. The natural response to fear is varied from person to person. David was not there consulting with social media and doing whatever they would do to complain to other people about their problems. David was not just consulting with his spouse about his problem. David was not just talking to his friends. David was not just raging out to the Jonath Elam Rakokum, which he didn't just put headphones on and try to zone out his fear. We have so many responses to situations that we face in life, and we often associate those improper responses with teenagers because they're not as good at hiding it, or they kind of wear their feelings on their shoulders a little bit more than we as adults do. But if we're not responding properly to the situations we face in life, we're missing out on God's blessing. Amen. And God's provision. I hope that your response to difficult times in life is not just to try to zone things out with TV and music. I hope that your response to things going on in your life is to go and rent some time in a rage room so that you can feel better. Rage room is one of those rooms where they just have a bunch of stuff and you get a bat and you just go around and break stuff because you're mad. Sounds kind of fun, but if you need to go in there because you got issues, I'd say you probably need to handle those a little differently. Otherwise, you might rage on the wrong person at some point. But there's a wrong response to things going on in our life. If your response is to try and get away from the problem or zone out the problem in any way, you're missing out on the supernatural response. Those are natural responses. God has a supernatural response that He looks for from His people.
Amen.
Taking our problems to God and taking our situations to God should be our first response rather than our last resort. Amen. So many Christians do not spend time with God in prayer. In times of good and in times of bad, I would wager that our prayer is not in the same manner that God is looking for from us. Prayer allows our outlook on a situation to be filtered by the Spirit of God. Often when we are looking at our problems, we kind of amplify them to the max. And, you know, read in Psalm 56, you know, the stuff that David is saying, if you weren't familiar with his situation with the Philistines, you would think that he's being dramatic or that he's, you know, just kind of overplaying everything. Everybody's against you. Everybody's trying to kill you. Everybody's got evil determined against you. If somebody said that to us, we would just assume, like, yeah, you know, you're probably overreacting a little bit. But that actually is not what David is facing here. David is being, I mean, his situation is absolutely dire. It is life and death.
Amen.
And we might face some life and death. We will face life and death situations in our life. And those are, you know, really life-altering experiences that we have. But most of the time when we have a situation that we're looking at, we don't look at it right. We fail to see the things that God wants us to see, and we only see the negatives in a situation. And when we take those situations to God, it allows our outlook to be shaped by the Spirit of God in our life. And that's a really important part of what we're doing when we go to God in prayer. We need our outlook to be shaped by God. It'll cause you to look at the people in your life differently when you take the situation to God. It'll cause you to look at the situation differently when you take the situation to God. And if you're going to actually choose to trust God with the situation, you have to first give the situation to God for Him to be able to trust Him. I'm gonna be a little transparent here. A lot of the things that we say that we have I'm just going to trust God with the situation, we don't ever talk to God about it. What we're really doing is we're really just being apathetic and expecting God to do something that we've not asked Him to do. We're believing that we're looking at the situation correctly. And, okay, yeah, I'll trust God, but I didn't even bother praying about it. Is that trusting God? You say you're trusting God, and I know that's a good thing to say. It's kind of a cliche thing that we as Christians say, oh, I'm going to trust God. But if you're not taking it to God in prayer and that prayer is not resulting in you also praising God, you're not really trusting Him. You're just apathetic and lazy. Because if you really have something that you need God's intervention on, if you really want God to work in the hearts of someone, if you really want God to intervene in your life, you're going to go to Him. You're not just going to blankly say, oh, I'll trust God. If it's important, you're going to go to God about it. And so we can't convince ourselves that we're actually trusting God if we're not taking time to pray about it. And I think a lot of times we've become so apathetic to our families. We've become so apathetic to the lost around us. We've become so apathetic to our church and to really all of these things that we need God's intervention on. We say, oh, well, I'm trusting God, though. And we think that we're doing a good job. We need to spend time with God in prayer. Why is it that the average person spends less than 5 minutes a day in prayer? You know, if we're really trusting God, I'm not saying that the quantity of time that you pray is, you know, really, really important, though, you know, you should be looking to have some quantity of time in prayer with God every day. But if you're not praying at all, can you really say you're trusting God?
Amen.
If you're not taking whatever it is to Him, are you really trusting in Him? And so our response to the situations and the crisis of life and whatever it is that we're facing should be to be on our knees in prayer to God about it. And if we get on our knees and pray to God about something, that will help us to respond by trusting God. Man, you look at verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Can you think of a better statement that someone could make when others are after their life? Hey, I know Saul wants to kill me. The Philistines are sitting here talking about killing me. They're looking to get rid of me. I have just a handful of people that are on my side, but I know I'm trying to follow the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. That is a response of faith.
Amen.
David didn't get to that place where he's responding like that without a lot of time in prayer. And I worry that so many of us will fail to respond in faith, will fail to trust God because we fail to take time to pray for one reason or another. Prayer without trusting God is a faithless and a fruitless prayer. So if you have the decision in your heart, if you make the decision to stop what you're doing, to respond first by going to God in prayer, that is a decision of faith. And that decision of faith will eventually bring you to the point where you trust God fully with the situation. Because, you know, we look here at this verse, David was still afraid when he was praying all of this. And by the time we get to the end of the psalm, David is fully confident that God is going to deliver him from his enemies, but he's still afraid at this point. And so this process of growing in our faith, this process of trusting God, if you wait till you fully trust God with a situation before you start to pray about it, you're never going to pray about it. You have to make the conscious decision to pray first, and the trust of God will come when you decide to pray.
Amen.
I think a lot of times our generic trust of God, we really need to add some parameters to that. Like, what do you mean by I'm trusting God? You know, I think when we go and actually take these situations to God in prayer, when you actually stop to pray, you know, you will become aware of some things that are important in your journey to trying to trust God. If you're going to trust God, you're going to trust that God is aware of your situation. That's part of trusting God. If we are afraid, if we're facing, you know, some type of adversity or trial or difficulty, and we don't really believe that God is watching over us, we're going to fear far, far more than we should. And when we understand and when we recognize that God is watching over us and he's aware of our situation, he's aware of what's in our heart, he knows what's happening, that will help us to have faith in that situation. That will help us to have faith to trust God with what's going to happen from here. David spends much of this psalm talking to God about what's going on in his life. As he goes through what's happening, he comes to verse number 8, where he acknowledges that God is both aware and attentive to his situation. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" God says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." Every step that David took, God was aware of it. God observed and recorded David's steps. A lot of times we wonder whether God is just kind of generically interested in us, but God is watching over every single step. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." Everywhere David wandered to, God was with him and God was watching over him. In every situation that you face, God is watching and is interested in what's going on in your life. That's comforting. Because there's a lot of times where we might think otherwise, especially if we're not looking at the situation accurately. You know, if you think everybody's against you and you think everybody's out for you and you don't have those thoughts challenged by the Spirit of God in your life, you're going to sit there and think, does God even care about me? And so when we stop and pray, it will help us to build our trust and our faith in what God is going to do, because God is aware of what's going on in our life. Verse number 8 says, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God is so acutely aware of our feelings and our fears and our tears. He keeps track of all of them. And in this particular, I mean, he's got them in a bottle. David had so many tears, it needed a bottle. That's a lot of tears. I mean, I don't like know how long you would have to cry to get, you know, tears in a bottle, but, you know, drop by drop, God keeping track of that. That says a lot about how much God loves you.
Amen.
And if God loves you so much that he's going to keep track of everywhere that you wander, and if he's going to keep track of every single tear and catch it into his bottle, don't you think that when you go to him in prayer, he's going to make his presence and his glory known to you? The process of praying and trusting and praising God leads us to greater faith, When we stop and we pray and we ask God about the situation, when we take our situation to Him, He's going to help us to learn to trust Him more. He's going to be attentive and aware of our situation. And we're going to come to the conclusion that God is able to deliver us. Is that not what David said? Shall they escape by iniquity and their anger cast down thy people, O God? David came to the conclusion that God was going to protect him and He was going to deliver him. And if you're one of God's people this morning, don't you think that God is interested in delivering you as well?
Amen.
Don't you think that God is interested in seeing you through whatever situation you face? And if you're going to see, if you're going to get through that situation, just say, oh, well, I'm trusting God. You're going to have a lot harder time in that situation than you might think. We have to take those things to God in prayer. We have to go to Him. We have to pray. We have to trust God. And then really, lastly, we have to decide that we're going to praise Him.
Amen.
Riddled throughout this psalm, we see David praising God. So as he is growing in his trust of God, as he is praying, he is praising God through that time. And I think that we have allowed our praise of God to become a spectator sport rather than something we actively participate in. When we're up here when Wally's up here leading singing, we're singing praises to God, are we not?
Amen.
So if you're not singing, you're just watching, are you praising God? If there is never anything uttered out of your mouth in reverence of God, in adoration of God, and thankfulness towards God, do you ever praise Him? The byproduct of us praying and trusting God is going to be praise of God.
Amen.
And so I understand that we don't feel like we need to take every situation to God, but really we do. Because God wants to bring us closer to Him. Even if we feel like we can get through a situation in our own power, God has a special plan for us through our life, and maybe we're not looking at it properly. Maybe there's something He wants to teach us through it. And so when we take that situation to God in prayer and we build in our trust of Him, we're going to praise Him more as well. Praising God is something that I don't think you can praise God with with a sad countenance. Can you really be sad and praise God? This is why it's so important for us as Christians to study the Psalms, to really study the whole Bible, because we have this idea that our relationship with God and our prayer towards God is just this mechanical thing that we do before we go to sleep, and that's it. We ask God for good health and ask God to provide for us, and that's it. But really, our relationship with God and prayer should be a process of God growing in affection from us towards Him. We should be praising Him and trusting Him more and more as we pray.
Amen.
There's a great difference between simply acknowledging that God can do something and praising Him. Because when you choose to stop and pray and to trust God and to praise God, that is something that is radically different than our generic, well, I'm trusting God. Is that not what we do? I'm just as guilty of this as anybody is. I'm just as guilty of prayerlessness over things that I should be praying about as anybody else is. And you know what? This is something that all of us, if we would see revival in our hearts, if we would see an excitement in our relationship with God, if we would see an outpouring of the Spirit of God in our life, we would get on our knees and pray and trust God and praise God, and we would see Him do great things in our life. One of the great things about these psalms is that we get to see an entire process of transformation that takes place in David's life as we read through this psalm. And you see that in many of the psalms where he starts out afraid, he starts out doubting, and by the end he's trusting God, praying to God, and praising God. And so if we would see that kind of growth in our lives, you know what we need to do? In our moments of fear, in our moments of doubt, we need to pray to God, we need to trust God, and we need to praise God. You say, well, I don't know what to praise God for. I'm in the midst of this trial. You could praise God for stuff that he's already done.
Amen.
You can stop and count your blessings and praise God for those things. You can stop and look back at some of the things that God has done throughout Scripture and praise God for that. At minimum, you can praise God for the opportunity to go to heaven when you die.
Amen.
There's always something that you can praise God about. And when we fail to get on our knees and we fail to look at situations properly, we fail to trust God, we fail to praise God, we fail to, we end up missing out on what God wants us to get in that. And we walk around upset, downtrodden and defeated, when God would have us to trust him and joyfully trust him, actually, in the midst of difficulty. Because you can't praise God and be sad. The supernatural joy that God gives to his people comes as we pray, as we trust, and as we praise him.
Amen.
That's how you find the joy of the Lord. That's how you navigate through the difficulties of life. You're not going to do it in your own power.
Amen.
Yeah, there's some things you can make it through on your own power and you'll be okay. But then there will be times where you absolutely need God's intervention.
Yep.
And in those times, it's good to have a track record of prayer, of trust, and praise of God. And so I want to invite our musician to come for a moment of invitation.